You are listening to the Profiles in Leadership podcast with Steve Anderson, sponsored by VGM Advantage. This is Season 1, Episode 2. I'm your host, Steve Anderson, and today we'll be speaking to Jim Homey about what it takes to run a successful private practice physical therapy clinic in today's environment. Jim is a graduate of the University of Central Arkansas School of Physical Therapy and has been in private practice for over 30 years. He has an MBA with a focus on organizational leadership. He is the CEO of Therapy Partners, a St. Paul-based management services organization providing various administrative and practice management services to over 30 clinics in Minnesota. Jim also teaches leadership and business classes at several physical therapy schools, has spoken at a number of professional conferences on these topics, and works with other independent practices on practice management strategies. Welcome, Jim. It's great having you on the program today. I look forward to discussing some issues with you, and thanks for being here.
Well, you're very welcome, Steve. I want to thank you for inviting me, and I'm looking forward to what you have to ask and anything that I can possibly offer.
Okay. Why don't you just start off by sharing with us your journey after PT school to doing what you're doing today? I mean, give us a little history on your journey.
Yeah. Well, you know, Steve, I started out in your lovely state. I worked in Aberdeen, Washington for a private practice there with two gentlemen that I know were pretty active in Washington PT Association, Chet Jolly and Dirk Ralston. I worked there for a few years, and then, but that was in a private practice, so that's where I cut my teeth and then moved back to the Twin Cities just to be closer to family.
And I remember you telling me that before, because just to give people a little more history, that's where Kurt Cobain is from in Nirvana.
But you're exactly right. The legendary Kurt Cobain. Yeah. And I heard a lot about him while I was there. But so then, you know, went back to the Twin Cities and worked in a private practice for a guy there for about 4 years and in St. Paul. And then had a great opportunity with Paul Nemeth, who started OSI Physical Therapy in Stillwater, Minnesota, with a close collaboration, you know, just a real nice, close working relationship with a startup orthopedic group back in the days when orthopedic groups were small, and became a partner with Paul Nemeth and Mike Ripley at OSI Physical Therapy. Paul left the practice in, several years back, and he teaches now at the University of St. Catherine, but, you know, been very involved with private practice for a long time. And in 1999, a number of the practices in the Twin Cities got together, and we thought, you know, we need to do something where we can have a little more clout in the marketplace, where we can be in a little bit better position to negotiate with health plans, to create a little more economies of scale. It seemed like we had so much. We were so duplicative in our kind of the back office services we were doing that there just had to be a better way. We didn't really want to merge our practices, although we did try that, and that never got off the ground. So we created an MSO back in 1999 with six practices, and I wasn't real involved there. I was mostly running our PT practice, doing more of the business administration side of the PT practice. But then in about 2008, I took over as a managing partner of Therapy Partners, and then Craig Johnson and I, a few years later, bought Therapy Partners. To, you know, since that time, I've been the CEO of TPI. So, you know, I've always been probably a little more fascinated and interested in the business side of our great profession than probably the clinical side. And I've had a great opportunity, especially over the last 10, 12 years, to spend all of my time with operations, with contract or with working with health plans, done a lot of health negotiations with health plans and working out some value-based models and developing some close relationships with our friends over on the payer side, and we always go into those relationships with a win-win spirit, you know, that we want to do something that's going to bring value to the plan, but then we want to be rewarded for that. So,
and so you're up to what, about 30 clinics now in PT Partners, is that correct?
We now have 30 clinics that we provide services for, and the billing, the revenue cycle management, the payment processing, health plan contracting, you know, credentialing, compliance, you know, the kind of the behind the scenes work that most physical therapy practice owners, you know, quite frankly, don't do real well and aren't really that interested in doing, you know. But we also work real hard, Steve, especially over the last 5 years, on really developing our not only the practice owners but their teams in growing as a professional, both on the clinical side and professionally as leaders, team players, trying to help them see the bigger picture of delivery of physical therapy, and we've worked a lot more in the last couple of years too with the practice owners on practice management, and because we don't own any part of the practices, we don't tell them what they have to do or what they need to do, but we just try to give them information so they can make good decisions on not only on the clinical side of things but also on the business side of their practices.
Right, and for those who may not know, MSO stands for Management Services Organization. And what is the vision of the MSO structure that you use today? So when you put this thing together, you just touched on it a little bit, but what's the overall vision of why, as an independent private practitioner, would I consider joining an MSO?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Steve. You know, and our vision has evolved a bit over the years. You know, it was pretty narrow from about 1999 to 2010. We were very colloquial. We were very, you know, just tight with our vision, our mission, right in within the Twin Cities of Minneapolis-St. Paul, a little bit on the outskirts. But, you know, we really weren't that interested in growing all that much. And then at about 2009, though, we started to grow more within Minnesota and even into, a little bit into western Wisconsin. So I think we have two visions. One is that that we want to grow the MSO in Minnesota, both in the metro area, which is about the size of Seattle, Denver, roughly, roughly around 3 million in the Twin City metro, but also into rural Minnesota as well. But we also would like to grow the MSO model in other states, in other communities. We see it as a way for independent practices to stay independent, to gain strength of size in a truly integrated, consolidated model under a single tax ID number for contracting purposes, but to maintain independent ownership of their practice. You know, again, the MSO doesn't own any part of the practices. We provide services, and like I said, we bring strength of size, but we allow the practices to stay independent and nimble and innovative.
And that's a key point that you brought up, that last episode on this podcast that we did, we talked about networks, and we talked to Rich Cates, who I know who you know. And one of the things that's the major difference there is, as you said, the single tax ID number. So you're all billing under the same tax ID number, where most networks are not doing that. Not billing under the same tax ID number. So, again, I would assume you feel that gives you more leverage with the payers by approaching them with that strategy.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, they're dealing with one person, you know, for the most part. They deal with me when, you know, in terms of the relationship building and negotiations and so forth, so the practice owners don't have to worry about that. But it just makes it easier for the plan. It makes it more, it simplifies our processes in terms of accepting claims and making payments on those claims, because all the payments go to therapy partners. And then essentially we do a lot of the work that a health plan would do. At that point, we take over and we reconcile all those payments and distribute those payments to the practices based on their, you know, the work that they've done. So, it's been a good way to appear to the practices that we're a big consolidated team. But in the communities that the practices are in, you know, they're known as OSI Physical Therapy or Creekside Physical Therapy or Wenger Physical Therapy. So, and I think, Steve, you know, just to maybe expand a little bit on that, you know, a few years ago we thought, you know, we could expand therapy partners and we could bring practices in from other cities, other states, just kind of under our umbrella, like we do, you know, locally. And it still could do that. I mean, it's MSO is set up to be able to operate that way. But to be honest with you, most practice owners, you know, if they're in, you know, in Seattle or Denver or New York or Austin, Texas, so, you know, I think they want that local control. And I think the payers want that as well. And so now we've shifted gears a bit, and now if we'll go out and help. If somebody wants to start an MSO in their community or in their state, you know, we and they're not quite sure how to go about it, we can come and help them do that. So
yeah, I think we've all learned that healthcare is still regional, and so that's definitely a part of it. But I think what has been so intriguing to me is that, you know, I'm a huge collaborator. So to me, I see this as a great collaboration opportunity. In other words, a lot of private practice PTs are so fiercely independent that they don't want to do anything anybody suggests or says. And then on the other side of the coin, you know, to get bigger, sometimes you have to sell out and maybe you don't want to do that. But the beauty of this model is that you own your own practice. You still have the collaborative resources of a group. And so in a way, it's kind of the best of both worlds. So I'm surprised. I mean, I know you're doing well in Minnesota, but I'm surprised this hasn't caught on more across the nation.
Yeah, you know, if you look at it from just a rational standpoint, from the outside, and you put this all down on paper, or just share it verbally, because I've told the story to a lot of people outside of our profession. And I think you'd be growing all over the country, but it doesn't happen. Although I think it will start. I mean, I think the market is getting a little, the practice owners are getting a little more accepting of them and a little more ready to do this. But you do have to give up a little bit. I mean, everybody's got to be on the same practice management system, same EMR that all has to feed together. You have to be willing to give up your contracts with a health plan under your name and tax ID and roll it over to the MSO and TIN. But I think even bigger than that, Steve, you really have to be willing to be a team player. And I think a lot of people say, yeah, I'm a team player. But to give up that complete autonomy is a tough one. That's a big hurdle to get
it
over.
It is a big hurdle. But, you know, on the other hand, to be part of any team, as you say, you have to have a certain amount of group dynamics. You have to be willing to maybe give up a little to gain more in the long run. So there's that piece of it. But, you know, it just seems to me that we would all do ourselves a lot better if we would kind of cut down more of the fences and find ways to work together. And I sometimes question if our profession isn't very good at that.
You know, I totally agree with you. You know, you'd think we would be a very collaborative group of professionals, but we don't. I don't know. My sense is from what I've experienced, we don't play real well in the sandbox together when we really get down to the nitty gritty. But we tell our members or anybody who's interested in doing something like this, you know, you get to make about 80% of all the decisions you normally would have. You give up a little bit when you come together as a team. But, you know, I don't know, for me personally, and I know the members of Therapy Partners, that we enjoy that part of it. We like collaborating. We like to bounce ideas off each other. You know, if somebody's having trouble with one thing, you know, one of the practice owners, they'll get on the phone and call one of the other practice owners and say, hey, what do you think we're doing wrong here? Here's what happened. Or, guys, we're thinking about doing this. Has that worked for you? And But, you know, we haven't always been there. You know, the first few years, I mean, we were pretty well together. But you really have to work intentionally at bringing people together who, you know, maybe on the surface would be competitors, you know, because a lot of these practices, you know, they're kind of competing for some of the same business, not completely. But you have to put aside that feeling of competition and embrace the mantra of that we're partners here and we're allies, and right. that if we can help each other, you know, if I can help my colleague here within the MSO, that it's going to come back. They're going to help me as well. So,
right.
But it takes a while to get there.
It does, but it's been well documented through research for many, many different studies that show that. You know, a well-run team or a well-run group will always make better decisions than any one individual over time. So it seems to make sense, but you're right. It's not everyone grasps on it. So besides reimbursement, because I know that's every private practitioner's worry, but besides reimbursement, what do you think private practice PTs struggle with the most when running their practices?
Well, that's a great question, Steve. I think several things. One would be just the efficiencies or the economies of scale. You know, you run a small practice. You know, you can't afford to hire professionals. You can't afford a CFO. You can't afford a CEO. You can't afford a chief operations guy, a marketing, you know, professional marketing person. So, you know, I think we struggle to compete in a very sophisticated healthcare marketplace. You know, in a lot of these small practices, it's a spouse doing it, or it's a high school graduate that's evolved from being your front desk person to being your office manager. And, you know, they're the bookkeeper, they're the HR person, but then they also help you with marketing. And then I think what oftentimes happens too is the practice owner all of a sudden feels like he or she's an expert at everything. You know, I'm an expert. You know, I know everything there. I mean, I'm the expert at billing and marketing and finance and HR, et cetera. So I think having the resources to get professionals to do work that should be done by professionals is a big challenge for the small private practice.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you talk about the front office person and how they evolve into these other positions and so on. It's, you know, the heart is there, the passion is there. But sometimes that professional experience and expertise and knowledge, takes something different than just what you're going to learn on the job.
Yeah. I think another thing is, Steve, I think that, you know, with healthcare reform as it is and evolving almost daily, I think one of the things that we're going to see is, we're going to see more of is that there's, you know, there's greater emphasis on regulations. There's more of them. There's a greater need for compliance, and you know, again, a small practice. It's tough to have expertise in compliance. I think it's there's a greater demand for risk sharing arrangements with health plans. You know, and when you're small, it's just hard to take on financial risk because one glitch can kill you, and if you're part of something bigger. You know, you can spread that risk around. And then I think there's just the whole, purchasing power. You know, that there's going to be a greater need to be able to control your expenses optimally. And as a small private practice, you really don't have much clout with the vendors either. And I think as you get bigger, that gives you, you know, the ability and the strength of size to get. You know, to cut a better deal, so to speak.
Right, and you can even take that further. You know, you have a company or a MSO that's 30 practices, but I also know that PT Partners has joined VGM Advantage as a member, and so that's another way to collaborate with someone different as well. So what were you looking for? What were you looking to gain through that partnership or that collaboration?
Well, VGM has they've got a great reputation for one thing, and a great reputation within our profession. So I knew they did a good job. At its core, though, we were looking for a couple things. One was where we first got introduced to VGM was through PT1 and the the quality of the insurance, especially the malpractice, and the costs there. So that got our foot in the door, and then we started learning more about BGM. It's like, oh, this is a great organization. So I think the first thing we looked at after the insurance products was group purchasing. And so we actually even, you know, we went on a road trip. We drove down from the Twin Cities and went to, you know, down to Waterloo and visited the operations at BGM, and that was like, wow. I mean, these guys know what they're doing. And you know, one thing that really jumped, probably the first thing that jumped out at me, Steve, other than the size, which was much bigger than I thought it would be, but the spirit of the employees, the spirit of the team members, and how proud everybody was, the smiles on their faces. And I finally said to, you know, one of the guys that was showing us around, I said, you know, I gotta give you a pat on the back here. I said, you got a great culture, and I hardly even know anything about it. He says, well, it's because they own the business, you know. So I found out at that point it's an ESOP. So
it's an ESOP, yeah. So they have they have ownership, or at least ownership mentality, through that structure, just like your directors do in your MSO.
Yeah, and so, you know, when we were being shown around at all these different areas and product lines, services that BGM provides, you know, it was actually really fun to listen to the people tell their story and the pride they had. And so you start thinking, wow, I mean, if they've got that much pride and they're so thrilled to have somebody come and visit them, you know, they're going to do a good job for you. So what we really want to do is, you know, to, you know, back to one of the challenges of all private practices is, you know, getting good pricing, is to get better pricing so that practices can, you know, whether it's office supplies or clinic supplies or patient supplies, to get a good price on it, get good access to a broad range of products, because not everybody wants the same thing, as you well know, and to get that delivered in a timely basis and conveniently to patients. So that's probably the biggest thing, Steve, with BGM, and thus far I've been really impressed with not only the culture and the spirit of the people, but the services and the products they've got.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you look at something like that with tight margins in the physical therapy business, why do you think directors and owners sometimes resist some of these cost-cutting strategies that you just described, which in any other business would seem to make total sense? Because I think, as we've discussed before, we both have experienced where not everyone's willing to jump on board, even though you've laid it out to say this will save you money, give you greater access, and have more opportunity. It's still a bit of a hard sell, isn't it?
You know, it really is, and it is surprising, because again, it makes total sense that you'd want to go with the best price. But I think it's, you know, it goes to the nature of physical therapists. You know, they're loyal, and I see that you know, the practice owners that we work with, they've had a vendor for the last 15 years or 20 years, or some of the practices. I mean, some of the practices within Therapy Partners have been around for, you know, 30 plus years, and they've got these relationships with people in their community, or the brother-in-law, or, you know, the guy down the street. And so I think getting over the loyalty to another vendor, even though the prices might be a little bit higher. So I think that's one thing, and I think that's the biggest thing. In fact, one of our practice owners, you know, showed her the prices of what she could get the same products from her BGM compared to, you know, her local vendor, and she goes, "Wow." She goes, "You know, but I know I could save a lot of money here, but gosh, Bob goes to the same church that I go to, you know, and I've known his family for years." So, you know, and I get that, you know, and I totally get that. And you kind of have to appreciate it too. But I think that's number one. And probably number two is maybe just the control. You know, I want to make the order. I want it coming into my place from there, not from some centralized source. But I think we're getting there. I think what I'm seeing is that the practice owners, it takes them a while to make that decision, but I think we're going to get there. I think it's going to start making more sense. And I think the reality is they're going to have to, just for survival, as you know.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you see as you work with your group of practices, and you're very involved in the private practice section of APTA, and so you have a good pulse on what's going on. What excites you about private practice, and what gives you pause?
Well, I'll start with the good news, and I'm a huge believer, and I know you, Steve, I know you're a big proponent of, and I know you get excited about kind of the whole Simon Sinek, you know, start with why.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Craig Johnson, my business partner at TBI, and I, you know, our why is that we believe in the tremendous value that independent practices can bring to a changing marketplace when they do it together. So that's really what gets us out of bed in the morning, is what drives us. And I think it's because in a private practice, physical therapy is job one. You know, it's you know, whereas if you're in a physician-owned group, you know, if it's in an orthopedic group, you know, orthopedics is job one. Orthopedic surgery is job one. And physical therapy is an afterthought, or at least it's secondary anyway. In a big hospital system, you know, not that they don't do good care, and not that they can't do good care, but physical therapy will never be job one in a big hospital system or an accountable care organization. Mm-hmm. But in a private practice, it's job one. And I think it's controlled locally. If you've got a practice owner who's passionate about it, it's his or her livelihood, it's their bread and butter. It's what, it's how they keep their family sustained, you know, financially. So there's that spirit, that passion in a private practice that, you know, and again, I know we've got a lot of corporate physical therapy, you know, growing out there. But, you know, there, I think physical therapy is job one, but, you know, decisions are made at corporate headquarters. So I like the fact that, and I'm excited about the fact that physical therapy is job one in a private practice. They're able to innovate and make decisions probably, you know, quicker than you can in some bigger organization. And they really create those close relationships in their communities with the patients they serve, with the coaches at the high school, with the, you know, with people in their, you know, that might go to the same church or shop at the same stores that they do. So those are the parts of private practice physical therapy that excite me. And I think just the way our profession is about, the care is better. We've got outcomes tools to prove the value that you deliver. So I think those are all really great opportunities for independent practices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the downside, the challenges, I think, you know, as you well know, that's just, we live in a consolidating market, and it's, you know, it's, as it is, tough for a small grocery store or a small hardware store to make it, you know, with a big grocery or big hardware that they compete against. I think that's it's getting more challenging for the small practices that compete against the big guys out there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, as we kind of wind down here, Jim, leave us with a pearl of wisdom that you have for running a private practice physical therapy clinic for someone as yourself who's seen it all over many decades. So what's your pearl of wisdom to these new professionals that are venturing out into this wild world of private practice?
Well, I would say, Steve, several points. One would be live your passion. You know, if you love treating patients and if you love serving people, but you'd like to bring out a little of that entrepreneur spirit, just go for it. I think the market is still good for independents, even though it's consolidating. But I think you've got to gain some strength of size. So use that spirit, that passion you have for treating and serving people in your community, for making a difference in your community, with an entrepreneurial drive to have some fun owning a business, because it is fun. But combine that with collaboration. Look at your colleagues. Maybe it's people you've gone to PT school with, or you've become good friends with, that you've worked with, and say, you know, we could come together and do what we love to do, make an impact on our communities, but do it with some size and strength and be able to make that type of a difference, And I think that opportunity is there, Steve, and I think it will be for a long time, but you just have to be smart about it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jim. This has been a great conversation. I have a great amount of admiration and respect for you and Craig and what you guys do up there in Minnesota. And I haven't asked you this, if it's okay, but I think I can say on the air here that you're one of those individuals that would be very open to someone in private practice that has a question or a concern, that they could contact you and say, what do you think about this? I know that you're very generous with your time and you would be open to answering some of those questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if anybody wants to contact me, you know, if they want to call me on my cell phone or send me a text, 651-341-3330, or send me an email, jhoimy@therapypartners.com. Or, you know, I'm on Twitter, too. You know, so they can either follow or connect with me on Twitter at Therapy Partners. It's probably the biggest or an easiest way, or at HoimyTPI is another way. Yeah. So. But anyway, thank you, Steve. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you.
Well, thank you. And I didn't expect you to give out your mobile phone number, but you're probably going to be answering a lot of calls with that. So I appreciate your generosity. So to those who are listening, thanks for joining us today. And be sure to check out our entire library of podcasts and videos at vgmadvantage.com. Again, Jim, thanks for your time today. I really appreciate it. And I'll see you at the next PT event.
All right. Thanks, Steve.